My guest at this time is Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee, recently reelected to a second term in the U.S. Senate. Senator Lee is also the author of the brand new book, Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. We just finished as a nation observing Memorial Day and taking the time to remember the important people and moments in our history, in particular those who gave their lives for our country. But the importance of American history is critical on a number of different levels. And for the next several minutes, we'll discuss Senator Lee's book and its impact on what's playing out in America today. And Senator, it's always great to have you with us. Thanks for your time, sir.
Thank you, Greg. Great to be with you.
You've written books before related to the judiciary and other topics. Why did you write this book?
I wrote this book because I saw the enthusiasm the American people had a couple of years ago for the Broadway play that came out featuring one of our founding fathers. I've seen that high school kids all over the place, including in communities remote and urban alike, know the words to the Broadway hit musical Hamilton. They respond this way in part because the American people intuitively understand something about the founding generation. They understand that that generation knew something about who we are as a people and that we have a lot that we can learn if we learn from their stories. But I knew that there are a whole lot of founding fathers that the American people know little or nothing about, in part because they don't fit our modern progressive narrative. I wanted to reintroduce the people to those stories.
Let's talk about this in a couple different ways, because I can imagine a couple of pushbacks, first of all, on that premise of people written out of history based on ideology. First of all, why do you believe certain people were written out of the history books due to ideology? Because the argument might be there's a lot of history. History gets longer with every single day, and there just might not be enough room for everyone.
Sure, that's right. And that's why a lot of people are just sort of forgotten, or they're crowded out because other people end up taking precedence over them. In other cases, it might be more deliberate, but one way or another, we tend to remember those whose narratives fit with our worldview from our day. And over the last 80 years or so, we have, within our public education system and our higher education system, seen a big push toward centralization of power. People are taught to have a whole lot of faith, a whole lot of confidence in the federal government, almost as if it were endowed with certain deity-like qualities. And that's why I wrote this book, because there are a lot of people whose stories don't fit with that, nor do they fit with the narrative that the founding fathers were just all a bunch of rich, white, male slave owners. Some of them really differed from that mold significantly, and I tell their stories in this book.
And we'll talk about some of those in just a moment. I guess getting to the nuts and bolts of this, Senator Lee, who gets to write history, and how is their focus different than it was a few generations ago?
Well, history is a complicated thing, you see, because it's written not just by those who would formally style themselves as historians. It's also what is transmitted from one generation to another by parents, by teachers, by what people choose to focus on. Never in the history of human beings, certainly never in the history of the United States of America, has it been easier for the people themselves, without any permission for anyone else, to decide what facts, what stories, what names will be transmitted to the next generation as historically significant. And that's why this book provides us with a real opportunity.
So let's talk about some of the folks that you profile in here now. You profile people written out of history, or at least severely marginalized. You mentioned Aaron Burr, who a lot of folks know maybe through Hamilton, or maybe just the fact that he shot Hamilton. They knew that before the play even came out. But how many of these people could you have chosen from? How big was your original list, and how did you ultimately decide who to include?
Yeah, there's a big list, obviously, and in any list, you're going to have to exclude some. I chose, for example, Canasatego, the Iroquois Indian chief, who hardly ever gets mentioned, but in many respects is the father of American federalism, this concept of vertical separation of powers that says most of the governing is supposed to take place at the state and the local level. A few powers are given to our federal government in Washington, but everything else is supposed to remain with the people. That's the essence of the 10th Amendment and the essence of the rest of the Constitution, even prior to the 10th Amendment. And yet, we very rarely acknowledge the fact that this had Native American roots from Canasatego, who I profile in the book. And as you mentioned, I also talk a lot about Aaron Burr. Most of us remember him as the guy who shot Alexander Hamilton in a duel. But we forget about the fact that one of America's most revered presidents actually became quite dangerous in the case of Aaron Burr, had him prosecuted based on a perceived political fit of rage, and very nearly won. But in the end, the Constitution held out, and Aaron Burr was found not guilty. Even though Burr had previously been a friend, an ally, and even a vice president to Jefferson. Jefferson later went after him because he was threatened by him. He perceived, correctly or not, that Aaron Burr was a threat to him personally, politically. So this is a reminder to us that even a revered man like Thomas Jefferson could abuse power and tried to abuse power. And in this instance, fortunately, the Constitution was sufficient to protect Aaron Burr from convictions.
You mentioned a moment ago the separation of powers, and actually the concept starting, at least on this continent, through the Iroquois nations. What was the general attitude of some of these people? You say in the subhead that they fought against big government. What was considered big government intrusion back then compared to what we think of today?
Okay, in many respects, they were surprisingly similar. So some of the people I focus on in this book, including James Otis, warned about intrusions somewhat similar to what we see today, violations of what we now call the Fourth Amendment. Back then, they were initially intrusions that, prior to the Revolution, were considered against the rights of Englishmen, as established by laws of England, using things like writs of assistance, whereby police officers, law enforcement personnel, would kick down doors, search people's homes, just looking for anything that they might want to find to use as evidence against someone. This is one of the reasons why we ended up with protections found in the Fourth Amendment, requiring that any searches be conducted pursuant to warrants and that those warrants be substantiated by probable cause and a warrant signed by a judge.
We're talking with Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. The book is written out of history, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. And Senator Lee, you talked a little bit earlier about how this process has been going on over the past 80 years, which is about the same length of time that government has seen some explosive growth from the New Deal to the Great Society and certainly in the past 8 years. So is that coincidental that this changing the narrative of history or changing the emphasis of history has occurred at the same time that government has seen significant growth?
No, there's nothing coincidental about it at all. Look, the fact is that since the New Deal, the American people have been asked to simply trust government, to have faith in government, almost as they would in God. And that narrative isn't supportable by the facts. It's not supportable by history. And it should raise all kinds of red flags, and it will raise red flags to anyone who reads this book. This is a great book for anyone graduating from high school or college. These are things that are not likely to have been taught in any high school or college history course, for the simple reason that they conflict with this modern narrative that says government in general is great, you don't need to fear it as much as some people might think, and the federal government in particular can be trusted.
Let's talk about where this has brought us to. I mean, just last week we saw the outcry of people, particularly on the political left, that smaller increases in spending on federal programs would result in dead children, along with the elimination of certain programs. And we've certainly seen warnings like this in the past that often result in strong public opposition to the idea that maybe government shouldn't run so many things. So how far down the road are we on this, and how do you even begin to push back given where the public stands right now?
The hardest part really is getting people to think about it, to talk about it, to read about it in books, to talk about it around the dinner table. Because once you have that part done, you can quickly move and bring about real change, the kind of change that returns power to the people. Now, keep in mind, I'm not talking in this book about advocating any particularly conservative versus liberal or Republican versus Democratic agenda. What I'm talking about here is returning power back to the people, allowing more of the people in America to have access to more of the kind of government they want and less of the kind of government they don't want. That's what our founding era principles do, and that's what they could do for us if we were to follow them more consistently.
What's been the reaction to this book? I know it's just getting ready to launch here this week, but what have you seen in terms of the appetite for this message given where America stands right now?
So far, the reaction has been very positive, and people understand that this is something that's very much needed. I hear a lot of praise, especially from parents who either homeschool their children or like to supplement their children's education or their own education with something they might not have learned. So this is a book that's available on Amazon in electronic form, Barnes & Noble, almost anywhere books are sold. And so check out a copy today.
Written Out of History is the book. You mentioned that families are the key in addition to history books telling the story correctly. What other advice would you have for those families who are looking to make sure their kids understand and appreciate the American founding?
You know, it's important for us to remind our children that they should respect government. Government is a good thing, and it is a tool for good as long as it remains subject to limitations and the limitations brought about by elections. And it's also important to understand the other side of that, that government itself is a window into human nature. You know, if men were angels, they'd have no need of government. If they had access to angels to govern over them, they wouldn't have a need for constitutions. It's very important for parents to emphasize to their children from a young age that that's the whole reason why we have a constitution, is to limit the power of government. Those limits need to mean something, but they can be meaningful only if we recognize them, enforce them, and talk about them in order to get there.
Senator Lee, we'll dive back into modern-day issues, but this is a critical pretense for understanding how we got to some of the debates we're in today. Thank you, sir, for being with us, and best of luck with the book.
Hey, thank you so much. Take care.
You bet, sir. Utah Republican Senator Mike Lee. Again, the book, Written Out of History, The Forgotten Founders Who Fought Big Government. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.